I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Watch we blow like a supernova, come like a four-leaf clover, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Fulham are through in the Carabao. It's Wednesday, 30th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Russell.
Welcome, one and all, to your wonderful Wednesday on the Football Ramble. And thanks to Aaron Young for today's intro line.
Bound for the reload.
That's more like it.
Bound for the reload. Oxide neutrino. Remember it well.
What Young Az has done there is he's given a good line to get us going. Yeah. Some people, some of the lines you think, that's not how you start.
We don't
a
want Elliot Smith or Nick Drake. I don't think, based on the fact that he's chosen Oxide and neutrino, I don't think he is young.
Yeah.
I think he's also young by name, but not by nature.
I've realised from your dance into the show, which was slightly different to your normal dance into the show, Marcus, I know what was in Alan Pardew's head when he did that dance on the touchline at Wembley.
Channeling the big man.
Yeah.
We're very similar in every way.
Well, you're both the king and you do what you want.
That's it. That's absolutely it. Now, everybody, deadline day for the transfer window is this Friday, of course. And so is deadline day for the Football Ramble's Patreon offer. If you sign up for a year's membership for our Patreon, you'll get a huge 15% off. So that means ad-free episodes of On the Continent up front and, of course, the Football Ramble, plus Ramble Uncut and access to the Ramble Discord for an entire year for a little over £45. We're extending this fantastic offer for an extra day to midnight on September the 1st. That is your deadline. So head over to patreon.com/footballramble for more information. The link is in the show notes. Gentlemen, to the Carabao Cup.
Oh, what an exciting sentence.
Yes, indeed. Mm. Yeah, of course, this is the second round of the Carabao Cup.
Which never technically ends, does it? The first one is straight after the final. It feels like it's just constantly happening, and but you don't see most of it.
There's more games. I mean, there's more games tonight. Andy's beloved AFC Wimbledon going to Stamford Bridge tonight. An empty Stamford Bridge tonight.
Andy, are you going to be there?
I will be there.
Yes.
Will you?
Yes. If you see Andy, slap those high fives.
Slap those thighs.
Well, no, don't do that.
Well, he's got his nice trousers on.
He has got Pete Donaldson-esque trousers on today.
But don't give me high fives because they sold out in the away end, so I'm hiding in hospitality.
Here we go.
It's all right. Give Andy a formal greeting and a nice firm handshake.
Yeah, exactly. With the appropriate dress on. Otherwise, you won't be let in.
Indeed, yeah. Well, of course, this is the round that Martin O'Neill did the draw for when he was speaking to the balls. And
that was very odd.
Very strange. Yeah.
Explain to people who may not have seen this what happened.
Yeah, so he was essentially when he was drawing the balls out to you know fulfill the fixtures, he was speaking into the balls rather than the microphone. And it's worth remembering that for a time he was known as one of British football's sort of great mind, wasn't he? Yeah. And he's now at the point where he doesn't know how to speak into a microphone.
Yeah, he just put a number into the ball.
Yeah, indeed.
It's just odd.
I think it is, but he pulled out Fulham at home to Spurs, of course. The match ended 1-0. Fulham won 5-3 on pens. Lovely stuff. And they did it, of course, without Marco Silverware being on the touchline.
Exactly. He was serving a ban.
He was serving
because
a ban.
Because the regime don't like it.
No.
Trying to keep him down.
Mm. Yeah. It's all a conspiracy, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And the real talking point from this game for me was the absolutely ridiculous situation involving Kenny Tete.
Yes.
Where for those who haven't seen it, because perhaps, you know, I venture that you may have had better things to do on a Tuesday night than watch this.
Well, you couldn't watch it.
Well, you can watch it anyway, exactly. Yeah. Or keep up with the news, even.
Yeah.
He had a problem with one of his boots, his football boots, and he had no replacement boot on the bench, which to me seems like a massive oversight from the kit man.
Silver said that this can't happen.
Yeah, and he went off the pitch and down the tunnel himself. He didn't even send someone to go and do it.
Yeah.
Did it himself, because he could have just kind of muddled through.
Played on with one sock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disappeared in the middle of the game, and then Spurs scored an equaliser when he was off the pitch.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Absurd.
I'm quite sure he scored the winning penalty with that boot, though.
Yeah.
So it's a nice redemption story, but at the very least, if that is the case, we're even.
We are even. Mm. But at the end of the day, as Marco Silva said, yes, the best team won, and the best team on the pitch will play in the next round of the Carabao Cup.
Sticking the boot right in there to be brave to
Sticking
be
Sticking a foot right in there. Doesn't have a boot. Doesn't need one.
No. He does have lovely black shiny shoes, Marco Silva, every game. And I always point that out to whoever cares.
Which is brave, Marcus, because at Craven Cottage, you've got to walk across the pitch to get to the bench.
Indeed.
And it can be very, very slippery.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because you see it.
Right, right.
Jim, you've been there.
Yeah, but it was like you were talking from experience. I was like, why is Luke
because I've
sounded
and watched people
Fulham.
come up
the pitch.
Yeah, but is that not why they're shiny? Because they've got wet grass over the top of them all the time?
Possibly, yeah, Andy, possibly.
I have actually been on the pitch at Craven Cottage, by the way.
Hmm.
And they let you back in.
It was only for 5 minutes, but still, we remember it very well down at the cottage. Andy Postecoglou was criticised for his team selections, Jim.
Too many Spurs players. That is not going to work. This is what happened.
What are you doing, Andy?
Well, of course, as I think it was in Sky Sports said, you know, they've only got one realistic avenue for silverware now, which is a dig. But Ange said that they don't have European football, and therefore he can't...
It's a good thing they went out of the cup.
Yes. No, he was saying, look, you've got some players here. I want to see them play.
Yeah.
They've worked hard. They're not just here to make up the numbers. What do you think about that? Do you think that this is an unfortunate... Well, it is an unfortunate...
Yeah, he'll want to stay in as many competitions as possible. Absolutely. And also, I mean, people kind of, you know, mock the Carabao Cup a lot. But it is... We see so often... It is a sort of destination point on a team's cycle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, you know, Chelsea, Liverpool, City, so many teams win that on their way to sort of a period of success. So he will be disappointed to have gone out of that. And of course, you know, he's still learning a lot about his players. There'll be sort of kind of players he considers fringe players that he needs to know more about. And it's unfortunate for them. But, you know, if you come to the cottage... Yeah, you better not miss.
The contradictory thing there is the fact that the only person to miss in the shootout is Davinson Sanchez. He's definitely not interested in how Davinson Sanchez is shaping up because they're trying to sell him to everyone.
Yeah, and also he's not been a part of Spurs' plans realistically for a while now. And look, I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, you want Marcus, whoever it was who said it, and maybe it was Ange himself who said it, he needs an opportunity to see these players in a competitive environment. Yeah. I mean, he's only just started the job and he needs to know what he's dealing with. He needs to know how... players are going to respond and react. I think he made 5 or 6 changes.
I think it might have been a few more than that. But I mean, you look at the side, it was still a better side on paper than what Fulham had.
Yeah. Mm. Fulham made changes themselves, right?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
I mean, Fulham had Carvalho up front, you know, who last season was on loan at Middlesbrough and scored 2 goals, you know. Mm. Spurs start with Brazil starting striker. I know it's Richarlison and he did score.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the kind of difference.
And ultimately, all this does is underline with the League Cup, great as it is in some situations, as Jim says, it's just part of too much football that we have. I mean, Wimbledon will change half the team at Chelsea tonight, and that's away at Chelsea, which is a game that all the players will want to play in.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I mean, it was a good... I found the penalty shootout interesting.
Oh, man, Harry Wilson's penalty was amazing.
Beauty, in off the bar. But if you noticed, it seemed like, other than that penalty, Fraser Forster seemed to do the same tepid dive to his right every time, and so the Fulham players were just slotting it very calmly down the middle or in the other corner. I thought,
I didn't really pick up on that, but that does make sense. Well, I think on Wilson's penalty, he didn't even move.
I think, no, he did dive the other
did
way,
he?
But
okay.
It was a brilliant penalty.
Yeah.
And so Spurs are out. Yeah. And
very annoying to get a Premier League team in the first round, or the first round in which you play, isn't it?
Of course. But, I mean, that's the magic of the Cup.
It's the magic of the Carabao.
Yeah, indeed. But you're right to say that, you know, when people are sort of saying, well, it's only the Carabao Cup, the big teams far more often than not do win it. And I think it was Vish that sort of said, you know, is it perhaps some sort of gateway drug to bigger trophies, you know?
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
And the teams that are in Europe don't come until the next round, of course, right?
So exactly.
That's, you do get another, if you're a kind of unfancied side that have a good result in round two, you can still just be bombarded with another difficult team, better team in the next round.
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of Postecoglou, he's been getting a lot of love, of course, by the majority of people, despite the criticism last night. He's also got a lot of praise from Robbie Williams, who, I don't know if anybody's seen this.
I think we've all seen it.
Yeah, well, there's a chap who wrote a song, who came up with a song to the tune of Angels by Robbie Williams. And, you know, it's I'm Loving Big Ange Instead. Mm. And he was there and Robbie Williams was singing it with him. And I thought, look, Robbie Williams...
just wants to be involved.
Yeah, yeah. I think Robbie Williams is harmless. And I think, you know, there is a bit of a prat about him.
Oh, I think a massive understatement, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm just wary he might listen to this.
And that video that people shared,
yeah,
it was just like seeing Robbie Williams really strain to get those high notes from Angels. It's like, are we really doing this? Do we need to be doing this?
Also, so surely, like, you know, I'm Loving Big Ange. I understand Ange, Angel, but it doesn't really work.
Angel. I'm loving Angel instead.
Ange Ball is what
I would have gone for. I'm loving Ange Ball instead, you know.
Yeah, makes way more sense.
Definitely.
But doesn't Robbie Williams, like, do UFO hunting and stuff now?
Does he? Good on him. I would do that if I had loads of money.
Hence I said he might listen to this. But I think he didn't write the song, I believe. I think it was the other chap.
Guy Chambers, yeah. Oh, no, you mean the...
I don't think
is that Guy Chambers next to you? Yeah. Could have been. I don't know what Guy Chambers.
They're
looks
really
like.
Desperate for attention these days.
Yeah.
Johnny Wilkes is involved, or whatever his name is.
Jonathan Wilkes.
There we are. Anyway, enough of that bollocks. So Fulham are through. Lovely old job. And Fulham signed Timothy Castagna yesterday, which I think is not a bad bit of business, Andy.
It is if you can Etete. After the night that Kenny Tete had, do you want to replace him?
But Fulham will, think they're planning big because obviously, they'll be in Europe next season.
And, exactly.
I think it's not a bad time. Why not get him if he's there?
Yeah.
He's versatile, right? He can play on both sides.
Exactly.
He plays in a number of different positions. Yeah. So it's not just bad news for Kenny Tete, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's. I don't think Tete's position is under threat. I think Tete is probably the best defender at the club. You certainly are.
Really? Wow.
Do you not rate Tete?
No, not massively. No,
really?
No.
Who do you think is the best defender at Fulham then? Well, bearing in mind that Tosin Adarabayo is, like, I'm thinking he's...
Yeah, that's probably the
case. I Ream, but I think Tete is a very good fullback.
I'm expecting a few more exciting signings from Fulham later this week anyway.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Go on then, what's the wicked whisper, Andy?
Yeah. Well, I think he's all out there, isn't it? Is it wicked or not? Is it a wicked whisper or not? Well, I think he's wicked... in the 1980s if Lucas Ocampos signs.
Oh, that'd be a nice one, wouldn't it?
Very lovely. Very, very exciting.
Mm. Yeah. Alex Iwobi apparently is on offer. Luke, you're not a fan.
I mean, if you start Premier League games with Adama Traore, if Fulham start Premier League games with Adama Traore on one flank and Alex Iwobi on the other, I mean, the opposite team just might as well not bother playing any fullbacks. I mean, it's fucking Wes Anderson stuff. I said to you on Monday. It looks great, but nothing happens.
Yeah, okay.
They don't contribute.
Yeah.
Iwobi hasn't contributed in terms of goals and assists for a long while from off the top of my head.
He's been all right at Everton, I believe. In the context of a struggling
team. That's a shit context.
It's not it's not an inspiring signing, is it, Marcus?
I mean, the other way of looking at that, from his perspective, imagine not having to play for Everton anymore.
Yeah.
That's an enormous plus. Also, if Ocampos arrives, he does the running of like five players.
Well, so does Andres Pereira.
So,
it would be very weird if Everton sold him, but I suppose they need money.
Well, I just think that he obviously needs a refresh and he needs to move out of there. And maybe if Marco Silva feels like he can get a tune out of him, fine. But I mean, come on.
Mm.
Like, he hasn't done anything for ages, honestly. Yeah. And the problem is he come through at Arsenal. He's come and he had a decent time of it at Arsenal, but he's perhaps on the fringes. He went for a massive fee.
He did,
as a lot of players did to Everton, and it's stagnated there because it's Everton and they're in a right old state. If he can refresh and he can come and get out of that environment and be in a more positive environment, maybe he can do something. But I just think
you know, it's not the most exciting thing. I think Ocampos is a really exciting prospect. He doesn't really get that many goals, but he kind of pushes everyone forward, right?
He creates the tempo for the whole team.
Right.
He does loads of work at both ends of the pitch. He was great in the back half of last season, good in the Europa League final as well. No-look pens, they're the thing. If you're a goalkeeper, if he's looking one way, he's putting it in the other corner.
If you don't score a lot of goals, that's bold, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I like that.
Very true. Chaps, elsewhere in the Carabao Cup, Salford City beat Leeds 9-8 on penalties after a 1-1 draw. A mammoth penalty shootout.
Yeah.
Where Salford, I think, had won maybe two match points and they didn't take it, and then eventually they
did. We call them that a match point now.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I don't like tennis, but I like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Of course, Salford City co-owner Gary Neville was on co-coms for the game.
Which is a fucking scandal.
What on earth was
now,
going
look,
on there?
Because we know that... So people often... You remember back in the day, people said commentary should be unbiased. Well, obviously...
Oh, that's gone out the window.
Yeah, but with Premier League or with domestic football, you don't want the likes of Peter Drury and so on to be biased. You know, commentators are often accused, Martin Tyler was. But that position of the commentator should be unbiased. I mean, I can remember Scottish, Welsh, Northern Irish people always moaning that English commentators were biased towards England in the World Cup. And it's like, well, come on, they are English.
So
let's be realistic here.
Yeah.
But I think when you're talking about domestic football, it's a little bit different. However, we're now very much in the age of co-commentators being an ex-player from
a club
or another. You know, Neville and Carragher are the two obvious examples. Co-owners a bit much.
I think so.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I must have said this before, but I remember when Arsene Wenger used to co-commentate on France games for TFL.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd ask him... how do you think France are approaching this game in the second half? He said, and he'd sit there going, I think they should take off Olivier Giroud.
Wow.
And you'd be like, all right, okay. Yeah, he's worried about him getting injured.
Yeah, excellent.
Gary Neville and his gang have cycled through so many managers at Salford City. It just feels a bit like the Emperor in the Colosseum.
What are you
doing the thumbs up or the thumbs down?
He also did like a post-match interview.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Oh, the other day he was interviewing Chris Eubank Jr. about a fight coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
He's got absolutely no boxing pedigree whatsoever.
It's
equally poor.
If we're having digs, then fine. That's but it's a different dig.
Yeah, it's a different dig. But my digs will be varied.
It's a jab.
Okay,
it's a jab, exactly.
Pun intended. But I mean,
look at my allotment. There's digs everywhere.
I know Michael Bridges was also on co-coms, a former Leeds United player. But again, as I understand it, he doesn't have any shares or anything.
Just gone for the novelty of that, right? It's very rare that Salford are on TV.
Do you think they've gone for it because if they think, well, there's a lot of player names to he knows them. I mean, I think I've mentioned this before. I asked Gary Neville when I interviewed him 5 or 6 years ago, what if Salford City progress through the leagues, which they have, and you're then, you got to analyse or co-commentate? And he was a bit stumped. He was like, oh yeah, I've not actually thought of that.
What a surprise. I mean, I don't want to kind of divert too much from common accepted wisdom, but my opinion is that Gary Neville is a bit shit. Like, Jamie Carragher's good. And I like the Monday Night Football setup. I enjoy the programme. I like David Jones. I like Jamie Carragher. I think he's very good. I just think Neville comes across these days as just a bit of a weirdo.
Well, I think Neville, for the first few years, was pretty good. But I think
correct. I totally agree.
Something somewhere has changed, hasn't it? Either he doesn't prep in the same way, or some unknown factor has changed the way that he sort of presents himself. Perhaps it's kind of outside influence getting to him a little bit and in preempting criticism.
What are you thinking, deep state?
Absolutely. So it's big football.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right. And I think that's happens to a lot of people on television. Yeah. But it was nice to see Roy Keane next to Nicky Butt in the stands, wasn't it, Jim?
It was, of course. Nice to see the old gang back together, isn't it?
Andy was saying that Nicky Butt looks amazing now.
He does look amazing.
He looks tough, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he always looks old, though.
But he looks amazing with...
He just settled into that, you mean?
No, sorry.
He's a low-key, very handsome bloke, and also, he looks great with any hair configuration. Mm. Of course, there was the short dreadlocks phase, there was the normal short back and sides. He's completely bald at the moment.
Yeah.
All of it suits him.
It's strange how he's bald, but he is undeniably ginger.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no hair there. It's got to be the eyebrows.
I was going to say, when you said he's bald at the moment,
he might go to Turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
He might go to
There's
Turkey.
There's options. Visit Fred. There's options.
Is he too old for a little stint at Besiktas?
I love the idea of a bald player. I love the idea of someone who suffers from really serious male pattern baldness, who's been bald for 20 years, just continually saying, I'm bald at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's just what I've chosen. Oh, don't tempt me. I'll go to Turkey.
Yeah.
Get those hair
that
transplants.
That was a bit Roy.
Well, that leads us on nicely, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Crystal Palace were in action last night.
I saw a bit of that game.
The Plymouth Argyle had them going for a bit. They went 2-0 up, but then Palace's boys scored four goals, and Mateta got a hat trick. And the way he lashed the ball in those last sort of two or three times, definitely I think the last two were lashes.
Yeah.
The way he kicked it and the noise I'm sure the ball made when it hit the back of the net was Premier League
quality. Yeah.
Premier League.
Exactly that. Yeah. I thought Premier League quality. Yeah. That's what he was saying with that. He was rifling the ball using a technique that basically Plymouth Argyle's players just didn't have available to them.
Maybe, right. You've had your fun. Yeah.
Maybe deadline day has got in my head. But for me, the manner was either put me in the team or give me a move.
Yeah.
By Friday.
Bit of that about it.
It felt that as well because, of course, Ugo Ekitike might be on the way to Palace. So he might be about to get replaced.
Big.
And I think, you know, there was also a huge amount of Crystal Palace fans there.
Yes.
On a Tuesday night, travelling all the way down to Plymouth, which is no small feat. It's a big old journey. And of course, you know, the big thing about it is when you get there, you're in Plymouth, which is obviously even worse. But then you have to travel all the way back on a Tuesday night. I just thought it was great to see at least now they've travelled all the way down there for a League Cup fixture. They've got a win out of it for those fans, and they've seen a hat trick. Seen one of their players score a hat trick, which doesn't happen an awful lot. Yeah. So good on them.
I think there was a point when they were 2-0 down where they were thinking, we are absolute mugs, aren't we?
What are we doing here? Yeah. Yeah. What are we doing?
But they weren't the only Premier League side who had a scare, of course, in this round of the Carabao. Fulham had a scare, of course, Crystal Palace, and Brentford were taken to penalties by Newport County. Brentford won 3-0 on penalties. Clean sheet in a penalty shooter.
Newport played some really slick stuff, though, from what I saw.
They've started the season reasonably well. They're up there in League 2. Yep. They've had a few wins. Have you seen them against... They haven't played Wimbledon yet this season, have they? But they're around where Wimbledon are, aren't they? They've both started quite well.
So. Yeah, they beat Sutton at the weekend, didn't they? Yeah.
Right, so maybe that's why they're obviously high on confidence.
High on confidence.
And it is sometimes... I mean, maybe not with Brentford because they're kind of established now, although Brentford fans will probably cringe at me saying that because it'll be, you know, speaking too soon.
They're an established Premier League side.
I think so.
They're top 10 last season.
Newport away is a proper unforgiving and it's quite a difficult away trip.
It's quite difficult to know for someone like Thomas Frank how to approach that game. Mm. And we talked earlier, didn't we, about Spurs? Perhaps, you know, Ange wanting to have a look at some players. Maybe Thomas Frank feels the same. But at the same time, you know, the headline will be you lose to Newport in the League Cup.
Who've got a bit of pedigree of late in the Cup.
They have. And you'd think that Brentford maybe, if they are, as you say they are, Marcus, established Premier League team, are they looking to the Carabao to get a little bit of glory?
I think, but you've got to, despite the big sides dominating the competition, you know, it is an opportunity for a side like Brentford, and even Fulham as well, who, I don't think Brentford have won a major trophy in their history.
They haven't. They've won the second division, second tier, and they've won the trophy, the Football League trophy.
And as I've mentioned countless times, there's neither of Fulham, you know. So it would be absolutely huge if they could do something like that. But there's a long way to go, though.
Would you count the 1911 Ealing Hospital Cup as a major trophy? Because Brentford have won that.
I would if I was in that position.
Yeah.
I would have done pre-Premier League, I think. Yeah. Luton beat Gillingham 3-2. Nice to see them scoring some goals, isn't it, Jim? Hey, the first goals at Kenilworth Road.
Yeah.
The big takeaway from this game is that is the battle between the two worst towns in Britain.
So does Luton winning the game, does that mean they're a better town or a worse town?
I don't think they're the same.
Well, I think it probably makes it a worse town because the Gillingham fans will be coming away from that going, God, I don't want to go back there again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Outrageous. Yeah. I mean, you likened Luton Town Football Club to a truffle pig on Ramble Rex recently.
Yeah, looking for morsels. They've got to try and find, sniffle out some Premier League morsels wherever they can.
Yeah, so obviously it's not a Premier League morsel, but that's, you know,
it's not a Premier League morsel. It's a nice little hors d'oeuvre, though.
There you go. Yeah. But is that a confidence booster, or is that, we nearly got pegged back? And Gillingham had chances
They did. I think at this point, if you're Luton, and I mean this with love, you just take it, don't you?
You take
it and move on. It's very unforgiving.
You're definitely taking that, because Gillingham, since they've got taken over, have got money. They've improved a lot in the last year. I mean, that is the banana skin of all banana skins if you're in Luton's position at the moment. So, great win.
Definitely, because Gillingham are flying, as you say, flying high at top of League Two. Andy, your favourite team, Milton Keynes Dons, that are above them in League Two. You know, the proper Wimbledon.
Exactly, yeah. But
it's
good to get some goals. Yeah. And Wolverhampton Wanderers fans saw five of them.
Yeah, Fabio Silva's found his level.
There we go.
Can I just say, I know there's a little bit of controversy around Fabio Silva going to Wolves and the Mendes connection and the fee and everything.
And
but in this kind of parish, He gets a lot of stick on and off the record, Fabio Silva. Mm-hmm. I don't actually think he's that bad. I think if you saw him at the weekend, his movement and stuff was fucking decent.
Yeah, but also, when he went through at the weekend, he missed a chance by...
Put it wide,
But it was so wide, I thought, I've come close to scoring at Everton away than that. I'm not, like, it was just... Well,
that's where we diverge, Andy.
Slight exaggeration.
But perhaps. he does get a lot of stick. And I think that, you know, if you look at the age he is, and everything. I think it's a little bit harsh.
Yeah, some of the stick is unfair.
You think it's a little bit harsh.
The whole point about
this
it,
very specific incident.
The whole point is they paid
35 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, for someone who'd played one first team game, and you just can't know if he's got the level yet at this point. That's the point, isn't it?
We just can't know, Andy.
We can't know. It can't get better than this.
Indeed.
It just can't.
Before we move on from the Carabao Cup, where Portsmouth went out to 10-man, Peterborough 5-4 on penalties after it ended 1-1 at full-time. The good news was that no referees were injured.
Yeah. Relief.
Also, it must have been disappointing to go out, but there must have been 1,000 people there. That must have been impressive, isn't it?
Exactly,
a lot of them would have been the usual sort of drifters and con men and pirates.
Exactly. That's what I love it. That's why I love it down there.
You could hear the bell really well.
I'd love to hear you saying that down in Britain.
Go on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. By the way, in Matt Letizia's newsletter,
great.
I know there's some controversy around that, as around this parish, people don't want to talk about it, but I subscribe to it every week.
I imagine you learn a lot about microbiology.
Yeah, I do.
Volleys qualify you to talk about.
It's brilliant because like Matt Letizia's newsletter is basically played golf, had dinner with the family, the government want to follow you. it's a mad thing. But anyway, newsletter number 5, which dropped this week. He went to Gunwolf Keys with his daughter.
What, in Portsmouth?
And he claims he never didn't get any stick.
Wow.
Which I thought was very surprising.
The town, or the city, needs you, Luke Moore, to whip them up into a frenzy.
I think our standards have slipped.
They have. They absolutely have. That's a disgrace.
Yeah, it's a little bit annoying because Portsmouth have looked, at least in flashes, like they're going to have quite a decent season this season.
Chat up, please.
But it's the most dangerous fixture for a referee at the moment. Indeed. I'm just pleased that they got through it unscathed.
I think we all are.
That's the takeaway from that.
I think we all are. Before we go to a break, everybody, we've got to mention Aldershot, of course, who had a tough time at the weekend. And this was a wonderful story. The National League side managed to end up playing not one, but two strikers in goal.
Not at the same time.
So yeah, the manager, Tommy
Widdrington
decided
another
to
pick... Another Southampton legend.
He is, yes.
Decided to pick no sub goalkeeper on the bench for their game against Eastleigh. Like, don't need one. 34th minute, Aldershot's keeper was sent off. So you bring on a striker in goal, and then later he decides he's not up to the task.
What happened
makes
was
a sub.
He conceded from his first shot.
He replaced him
with another striker who was already on the pitch, who also conceded the first shot. So just turns out it doesn't work. You very much need a specialist in that position.
But even though it was a free kick, the one that the first sub goalkeeper who wasn't a goalkeeper let in, it did look like a testimonial goal,
yeah,
didn't it?
Of course, it would do, wouldn't it?
You've got to have a sub.
Well, I was going to ask you. Say you haven't. Say for whatever reason you can't. Do you think the manager, if he's been in the job for a while, should have an idea in his mind of who the best outfield goalkeeper is? Because a lot of them seem to, like Jagielka was an obvious one. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Rio Ferdinand always used to be put in goal as well. Do you think it's the manager's fault that he hasn't got a better idea as to who the best outfield player is in goal?
Possibly.
Those are probably outliers, though. Right, we all know that about Jagielka because he spent some time as a goalkeeper.
I guess it just doesn't come up as often, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, maybe he would think, but he probably just, did he go for height? I don't know what the relative heights of these players were. If you're going to not put a subkeeper on the bench, then you should have an idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's only got himself to blame.
I agree.
There we are.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Mahaba, Anna Stephen Gerrard. Anna El Etifaki, see you soon.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. He's fitting in really well, isn't he, Andy?
Yeah, isn't he? That's translated as to I'm being treated well. I'm getting looked after.
Yeah. I'm speaking to my family.
While blinking torture.
They are letting me play Phil Collins.
That's a great reference, by the way.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, he was in a club and he demanded a DJ played Phil Collins and he was like, well, obviously I'm not going to do that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know who I am. Good reference, Jim. Well done, sir. Now, did you see that this week Erling Haaland was crowned PFA Men's Player of the Year?
Didn't see that coming.
No. Saka won Best Young Player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well done to those chaps. But at Manchester City, where Haaland obviously plies his trade currently, they have had a 47 million bid for Matheus Nunes turned down by Wolves. Apparently they've increased that to 52 million. Wolves want more than 60 million. Nunes is doing the honourable thing by refusing to train in order to force the move. Andy, what do you reckon of this?
For refusing to train to force the move.
The
I think
situation.
It's the way it's done in the modern game. And so you should. Remember last year, Antony was doing that at Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it produced this ridiculous domino effect. So God knows what it's going to do at Wolves. Because after that, Edson Alvarez, his teammate, went on strike to try and force a move to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And then Mohamed Kudus, who's obviously just moved to West Ham, went on strike to try and force a loan move to Everton.
Yeah.
Can I just say, at that point, it's like, come on, man.
Was he like come forming on. A picket line? At
yeah.
The,
yeah. Can I just say, Anthony's right foot is still on strike.
Wilfred Nonto did it recently as well.
Yeah.
Well, Mitrovic, Fulham, there was a little bit of that going on.
Have they unionised?
I think so.
They've got a union, haven't they? They've got a union already. That doesn't really work in that way. But yeah. Nunes got sent off against Brighton as well, right? So maybe he was going, I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
I'm not
he still has to serve his ban, though.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Is that the way around it, do you think?
Yeah. But why are City expecting that 47 million is going to be accepted? I mean, presumably part of that is because they're thinking Wolves can actually go and buy some players, which they've not been able to do all summer and they've had a few leave. Because if you're Wolves, when they paid that amount for Matheus Nunes in the first place, it's just not enough of a profit, especially when they specifically bought him to sell him on.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Premier 60's
League... 60's not unreasonable, is it?
No, well, I mean, not for a Premier League side, no. When you know a club has got money, you just...
Yeah. It's still part of the dance, no? It's still part of the dance.
Yeah, but because they'd want to be... They don't want to be complete pushovers, I suppose. So they'll probably come in with the money. We know they've got it, but... It was a bit like with Mitrovic and the Saudi side he's gone to. I forget, is it Al Hilal? they could hold out for more because they want the player.
And that's where the player comes into it and starts to affect it, because the player probably on the advice of his agent thinks, well, Fulham are going to, in this case, Fulham are going to ask for more and more and more because they know how wealthy Saudi Arabia is. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, if you want to go there for whatever reason, you're stuck in the middle. They can't ever come to a deal. So that's when the players start to try and take things into their own hands, right?
Yeah, indeed.
But, I mean, going on strike to force a move to Everton is unforgivable. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, what is going on there?
Who did that?
I mean, just what Andy said earlier.
Forgive me.
The Ajax player, but he went to West Ham in the end. Yeah, this year. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He saw the light. Manchester City officially announced Jeremy Doku last week, of course. The Belgian winger from Rennes joining up with the team. Andy, tell us about him.
Great fun. Really, really great to watch. Of course, people will have seen him a little bit during Euro 2020 when he came on and had that great cameo against Italy. He needs work, there's no doubt about it. But he's such an exciting dribbler.
When you say needs work, it sounds like he's out of work. You know, like Ren didn't want him anymore. He's just walking around and he's sending off his CV.
City will get him a temp job somewhere. Get him on his feet.
Exactly.
Are you interested in this move? Well, I do need work.
Exactly.
Well, if he's a wide forward player, there is a lot of work for them nowadays, isn't there?
Get yourself down a deco.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we look forward to seeing him.
He's really entertaining, and he's something that City don't have.
Yeah.
That wide player that stays wide and
like a proper natural
really
winner,
dynamic.
Basically.
Yeah.
Which is great. How exciting.
Yeah. Come on, Jim.
Yeah, it's all right, because all we do is have a pop at Chelsea these days and Saudi Arabia, so Man City get away with it.
They do, actually, yeah.
I think you should respect the champions, that's all.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you respect Arsenal fan TV, Jim?
Not really, no.
No, fair enough.
It's changed its tune.
Not even called that now, is it?
No, it isn't. Yeah. But
because the club didn't want them to use the word Arsenal.
I know they're not returning your calls, but don't have a go at them.
Yeah, the memories remain.
Yeah.
Roma have agreed an £8 million season-long deal with Chelsea forward Romelu Lukaku.
Yeah, I found that really interesting. Nicky Bandini on the content was talking about how much he would be loved there, how much they love him to have him there. And I just think that's quite an interesting move, actually.
Yeah, there were people at the airport to greet him and stuff, weren't there?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, interesting you mentioned the airport, Andy, because Roma's owner, Dan Friedkin, personally flew Lukaku to Italy.
Yeah, as in like piloted the plane, didn't he? Why are they like this?
Yeah, he doesn't have wings, obviously.
Put him on his back.
Yeah, but he's Birdman.
That could sound like he just paid for it, which would be a sort of obvious thing. Sure. You wonder what sort of weird billionaire stuff he made him do on the way. It's like, so you're going to take a quick detour to my fountain of youth.
Like Mattson in
Succession.
Why
are you like this?
Just Lucas Mattson in Succession.
Yeah, or that bloke who thinks he looks 20.
Oh, yeah.
But he's 45 and he looks every day of it. He's like, look how young I look.
Whose female partners just keep leaving him?
I'm not aware of that, but that does check out.
I think they do, yeah.
We'll continue that on Ramble.
We're getting distracted. Yeah, we're getting distracted.
But Chelsea themselves are apparently interested in Emile Smith Rowe, which that
been rebuffed, apparently.
Has it really?
Yeah. I love a rebuttal.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you why.
Because you're so used to it.
Because rebuttal is like an interesting word. But I think to be rebuffed to me sounds like it's rude, but it isn't. Do you know what I mean? If I rebuff you, it sounds like I'm doing something rude, but I'm not. I'm just saying no.
Luke gave me a good rebuffing earlier.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you famously refer to the Gooch as the Buffman's Bridge.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's come from...
It's the word buff, isn't it?
Buff, yeah.
You're in the buff.
I also liked it when Mark Wood, you know the cricketer, fast bowler for England at the Ashes, and Vish actually ghost wrote his book.
That's right, yeah.
He described in an interview after a game once... Because he's basically a real pace man, so he knocks it down there at like 90 or mile an hour.
Just like Vish.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Well, Vish is more of a man of the bat, as we know.
He is, very much so.
And Mark Wood was being interviewed, I can't exactly remember the context, but the interviewer said, oh, you weren't bowling it down quite as quick this time. And Mark Wood said, yeah, I wasn't quite giving it full biff. And I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah.
Full biff. Giving it a full effort. Get biffed, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting distracted again.
Exactly. Yeah. Chelsea, Emile Smith Rowe, Jim, that would be very sad to
that
see
would
him
be
go
rubbish.
There.
They don't fucking need him.
No,
why do they keep signing these players?
There were rumours on Arsenal Twitter, which is a varied place, to say the least.
Now you have to call it A Twitter now.
A Twitter.
A on X.
That they had offered Mikhailo Mudryk as a swap.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Could you imagine?
There's some good stuff on X at the moment, though.
Ever since it's become X,
it's been brilliant.
It's been super.
The Musketeer knows what he's doing.
He knows his onions,
doesn't he?
And he's going to buy a Premier League
for engagement now.
Can I just say, you're absolutely spot on there. The thing that needs to happen is the Musketeer, because let's be honest, we're all in the same fucking cesspool here, right? The Musketeer, we're all in this fucking shit. Yeah. Premier League's a joke.
Pile in.
Musketeer needs to pile in. Yeah. He needs to get Man United. He needs to go in there late doors. If he can do 44 billion for X, he can do 6 billion for United.
Trump 2024.
And I'm not...
Come and buy Burnley.
Yeah, I'm not
with the way X has gone, don't you just want him to take over Southampton?
Oh, now you're talking. The thing is, he never. I don't want someone to go out of business. I've always maintained that. I want them to lose every game between now and my death.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to go out of business. So
that's what's happening with X. He's losing every all game. Credibility, but it's still there.
They'd be playing Sunday League in about 20 years if that was the case.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, fine.
I'm fine with that. And Southampton have already lost all credibility, in my view, so there's no problem with that, is there? I think Musketeer needs to get involved in the Premier League. It's a marriage made in heaven.
There was a rumour that he joked about buying Man United, didn't he? But you can never tell when he's joking.
Exactly. And what you've got to do, because he's just desperate to be loved, if he does tell that joke, you all just pile in and go, what a brilliant idea, Elon, and he'll do it. Mm. And that's what happened with Twitter. So I reckon he could do it. I've got nothing against Man United. I just picked them out at random. I know that because they're for sale.
What have you got against Elon Musk?
A
lot?
Use his proper name, please.
Elon the Musketeer.
Anyway, good section this. Carry on.
But I think it would be a great shame if Emile Smith
Rowe. What have you got against him?
But you're right, though. Like, Chelsea are just stockpile these players. I mean, Mudrick, how much money did they spend on him? And of course, Arsenal did want him, so it might be a tempter.
And here's the thing. Not enough has been made about... And maybe Andy knows more about this than me. I'm sure he does. He knows more about me on most things. I don't think enough has been made about this policy Chelsea are adopting.
Yeah.
I just don't...
We talked about it last week, didn't we?
I can't see how it ends well. I really can't.
Mm. Well, they're all fairly young players on very long contracts, right? So the idea is to protect their value. It's risky. Yeah,
but Jim...
But what if that's the thinking behind it.
What if they're not good and you're stuck with them for 8 years?
Or, here's another one. What if they are really good? What's the first thing them and their agent are going to do? New contract, please.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to...
We'll see, won't we?
There's nothing built in there, presumably, that says if you do this amount and you win this amount, you get more and more and more money. Players who play really well ask for new contracts. Or they go on, as we just spoke earlier, don't fucking want to play, or they get demotivated, or they want to move. And players who are terrible, that are stuck on these massive contracts, you know, I just don't see how
it's
ends.
Like you have a generation of Winston Bahadas.
Exactly, yeah. Well, right.
The thing is, though, we don't, you know, Todd Bowley's fairly new to football still. We don't necessarily understand everything he's trying to do at the moment, but we know he thinks outside the box, and that might be really fruitful in the past. I mean, look at the situation with the sponsor. They wanted more money. Mm. Three wouldn't pay them more money, and now they don't have a sponsor at all. So the man is an innovator in ways that we don't understand at all, because they look mental.
The Bowlinator.
You know.
The Bowlinator.
To be fair, though, Jim, we have complimented on them on their kit. I think one of the reasons why...
I like the badge and the logo.
I like the shiny badge.
And
no
nice.
Sponsor. Yeah. You know, it's very Nottingham Forest, I should say. Yeah. But, you know, I think the man is ahead of his time. And another good decision Chelsea have made this week is that they announced that the club will no longer provide subsidised travel for away fans travelling by coach to domestic games. The subsidy was £10 per supporter.
I mean, it's not a great look, is it?
That'll fund another youth player, would it not?
Yeah. It will.
I think it won't.
Chelsea supporters trust have been absolutely scathing about that, understandably.
And
completely reasonably. But I think if they just explain the concept of the 12th man, it would just give them an 8-year deal and off they go. They'll be fine.
But like, the thing is, you know, the Chelsea supporters trust statement does make it very clear that this subsidy is incredibly valuable to young supporters who use wheelchairs and mobility scooters, people who are unable to drive due to medical conditions or cost, supporters who are ambulant disabled, supporters who are required to be dropped off very close to the stadium, vulnerable supporters, and supporters who generally rely on affordable mode of transport to support the club. Essentially, I mean, what you're saying is we can afford to do this, and this at a ridiculous level to the tune of £1 billion, effectively, which is an extraordinary amount of money.
Sack managers, hire managers, pay them off.
Yeah, we can't afford to. I think the budget for that was 200-something thousand.
250 grand.
Year.
It's like it's a player's weekly wage.
It's not saying we can't, it's just saying we don't want to.
Yeah.
And that's why supporters trust, for example, are so important to speak truth to power in a moment like this. And it's not all about, I think football fans sometimes get a bad rap in that, you know, people say, oh, you know, people don't care as long as their clubs are getting the best players. There is other stuff that matters to fans.
Of course there is.
And for fans to come out and say stuff like this is so, so important.
Definitely.
And it's another example, and Chelsea aren't alone in doing this. This isn't even necessarily specifically a dig at them. But this is what happens when supporters are treated as customers.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's all a load of bollocks. You know, we were saying this about MLS and the way they're charging home fans ridiculous amounts of money for when Messi and Inter Miami turn up. Now,
which is the most predictable policy ever,
of course. And we were saying that, and I was like, blimey, imagine that in the Premier League. And then you go, yeah, but I mean, Premier League fans have been shat on from great heights in a number of ways. This is, unfortunately, this is the state of play. You know, if you, and you know, we laugh about Elon Musk taking over a Premier League team because it's all a cesspit. As a football fan, you're just hoping that you get a nice billionaire take you over.
Exactly, that's the same. But never hope. Always question the people running your club.
Of course,
unless it's you, the fans. And the point you made about Messi there is interesting, because for probably the past 25, 30 years, clubs in Spain, like smaller clubs in Spain, have been doing that when Barcelona and Real Madrid come. They've been charging season ticket holders more to get in. And I think that points out that there's still quite a lot of power amongst fans in this country. Because when the Super League stuff came out, where did everyone look to? Even UEFA were really looking at, well, the English fans will do a protest. And actually, the fact that English fans, including Chelsea fans, including Arsenal fans, took to the street and said, we're not having this, that was a massive, massive turning point in the Super League idea not going through.
Yeah, but that's the limit, though. So we found the limit of what...
No, but fans, the problem is the fans... Football fans generally, and you've got to be careful kind of criticising them, because they do go through a lot, and you're right to say they've been shat on from a great height for a number of years. But a lot of time I find it frustrating that fans channel their energy in the way they channel it. So us having a pop at this situation from Chelsea, which has basically been highlighted by the Chelsea Supporters Trust, which is basically the official supporters group.
There will be Chelsea fans going, get off our club.
Check out our social media. Check out, when this gets put out on social media, check out the comments. It'll be a lot of Chelsea fans saying, why are you picking on us? And the energy is channeled in the wrong way. The same way, is another example, and this is just an example I've picked at random, not having a pop at anyone in particular, when Sunderland went through what they went through, a lot of rival clubs' fans were much more content to say, ha, 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 look at that, than say, shit, this could affect us. This could affect all of us. This is a working class club with a rich history that provides a massive community service, and we would rather laugh at it because they're a rival club. Football fans sometimes don't understand the power they hold, and if they banded together, they could get a lot more achieved. Easier said than done, of course, and it's easy for me to sit here and say that. A lot of time, the energy is just channeling the wrong way.
You only find the common ground when it's the last resort.
Exactly, and Andy's absolutely right. It's unthinkable that a European Super League would have ever proceeded to empty stadiums, because it would look like a fucking terrible product, and the fans have got the power to do that. That's why I massively support the idea of fans going and support their local club. Yeah. You know, go and support your local non-league club. Take your money. You can go and watch Chelsea on the telly, whatever you want to do, but support your local team. You feel much more of a part of it. And again, it's easier said than done, but that's how I feel about it.
I mean, you can support a big side, as you know.
I support a massive club.
Well, a club with a big history.
Well, I think the whole point, nearly went to the wall.
The whole
point with this is, these are people spending every penny they've got trying to support their club, and it's being made more difficult for them by their club.
But this is the problem, goes back to the point. If you know, billionaires come into football clubs and so on, they completely take it for granted. They absolutely do.
No, I think there's a definition here. I think you're talking about...
It's not just billionaires.
I think you're talking about hedge funds approach, which is that customer's thing that Jim was talking about. Because the interesting thing with, say, Newcastle and Manchester City, part of how sports washing works is be nice to the supporters. Get them on your side. So that is actually totally different. It's not about the amount of money. It's about the approach to using that money and about how you're expecting the business to work.
Fine, okay. Well... Yeah, it's not going to change, sadly, but we wish it bloody would.
Yes, absolutely.
There we are. One situation that is probably not going to change anytime soon is Harry Maguire playing for Manchester United, or at least being at the club.
Ask him if do a poll on Twitter and ask him if they'd rather the Musketeer took over or Harry Maguire stays.
That's a good point, that.
Presumably they want both. Because it will not be Man United best fans voting.
Best of both worlds.
Well, Manchester United have told Harry Maguire that he will not be leaving the club.
Yeah. Okay. Now, got a mind game, isn't it?
It is. And they're trying to
pack your bag. You're not going. What? Yeah.
This is what I wanted. Is it?
Yeah, it's the old reverse psychology, maybe. Yeah. I mean, there seems to be a dispute on how much he would get paid.
About $7 million, didn't he?
To leave.
Yeah. I mean, it's a strange old situation. He's yet to feature this season, of course, Harry Maguire, and.
Presumably, Marcus, it will be like Kylian Mbappe. As soon as the transfer window's over, they'll be playing him left and right?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a loyalty bonus, but...
Andy, I don't think it is like that. I think as soon as the transfer window closes, absolutely nothing will change, and Erik ten Hag will continue to pick players who don't even play in that position ahead of Harry Maguire.
If I was Harry Maguire, I would be doing all I can to leave for West Ham. You've got a huge club there, one who have started the season well, by the way, want you, and if you go there... He would be probably their main defender.
He would.
I think people would suddenly go, oh, actually, Maguire is actually not a bad defender when he's playing in this sort of team and that style.
You're spot on, but it's not about that, is it? It's about what he and his team think he's contractually owed.
Right.
And so that's the
I suppose,
you're not going to write off a huge amount of money that you feel like you're owed to go and do something else. I don't think it's all the kind of stick I've given Maguire over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's unreasonable of him.
Well, look, and if that is the case, then fair.
Yeah. The question there that you're sort of posing, Marcus, I think, has he overplayed his hand a little bit, though? I mean, could there have been some compromise figure? Obviously, we're not privy to the intricacy of the mm-hmm. talks, but you were saying he'd go in there and be West Ham's best defender. Had a great start to the season, would he? I mean, if you're West Ham and he's made it so difficult, if you were given the opportunity to sign Harry Maguire in the next 2 days, if you're West Ham, would you say no? You might.
I think they'd still want him, Andy, because despite, you know, being...
But I'm saying there's a doubt over it now. Mm.
They've signed Mavropanos now as well.
Yeah,
So they might not even be in the market for a defender.
Because they didn't think they could get Maguire, is that why?
I could only speculate on that, but they've, you know, they were looking at Maguire, who is a central defender, and they've signed a central defender. So, yeah,
but I think they're trying to build. I think you know the success of last season. You've got European football again at West Ham. You've got to make some signings and do stuff that makes you think. No, we're not just going to go, well, that was lucky. We won a trophy and all the rest of you. You've got to have a bit of intent, and I think that would be a big signing for West Ham.
I'm Team Speller on this. I agree with you, Marcus.
Thanks, bruv.
No worries.
Have you seen that Spurs are reportedly offering Eric Dier to Bayern Munich, and it was described as offering him again and again to Bayern Munich? This was an interesting one.
I think this is one of Charlie Kane's big ideas. That is Harry. He sounds a bit strange. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Seems a lot cleverer.
Do you reckon it'll sort of be like Karl Power, where Eric Dier turns up in like a waistcoat and lederhosen and he'll try and like blend in?
I tell you what, we saw Harry Kane in the lederhosen, didn't we?
Doing all the publicity shots for Oktoberfest, aren't they? He looked fantastic, didn't he?
He's fitted in lovely there.
He has.
I mean, we wouldn't be too surprised, of course. Do you think maybe now he's like the king of Munich and they're saying, what can we get you? And he's like, I'd like an old teammate, thanks. Bring me somebody. Bring me an old friend.
I think so. What, when you've got so much power that you've got Thomas
like Zlatan,
that you've got Thomas Müller telling you how to chop Weisswurst most efficiently. Mm. It's incredible.
Who was the player that Zlatan
Maxwell.
Was with him?
It was Maxwell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be.
I think it's sad. I think Dier seems like a good guy. He's obviously been a great pro. He's arguably, you know, should be at the right club and playing a lot. He should be in his kind of prime years, 29 now.
Yeah.
Lot of experience, played at the top level. I can see why a team would want him.
When you say the right club, do you mean one that habitually plays their defence on the halfway line?
No.
Well,
I think Ange has obviously made it clear that he's not part of his plans.
Yeah.
There should be a club out there. In many ways, I don't want to damn him with faint praise, the conversation we've just had about Maguire, the point you're making, applies to Dier.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
He's got something to offer. It may not be at a side who some would see as maybe a top six side, or certainly want to get back into that position.
Do you think Bayern Munich have just said, "We're Bayern Munich"? What are you talking about?
I think
because there's talk that Tuchel actually likes him and wants him.
Well, he's a bit versatile. Who knows? Fulham were interested in him as well. I mean, if Eric dies for sale, I'd be surprised if somebody didn't come in for him.
Agreed.
Depending on the price tag, of course. Mm. There we are. Right, gentlemen, let's finish with some ruddy speculation, shall we?
The last 50 minutes has been the most amazing, like, unimpeachable fucking Carl Bernstein, Bob Woodward fucking journalism.
I'm just gonna tell everybody now, those who don't know, that the Canada national team's head coach, John Herdman, has left his post to go to Toronto FC. Now, that means they need a new manager, Jim. Phil Neville has been assistant coach for Canada.
You
since
are
June.
A naughty bastard, Speller.
Failing this
nice.
Sideways.
This is nice. This is nice stuff. Andy, shut the fuck up. This is nice stuff.
Tell him, Luke.
This is good ramble content, mate.
What is he like? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He thinks Fizzer getting that job would be bad news.
How has he only just worked out that you're a naughty bastard? That's what I want to know.
Is that? Yeah. And how do you, Andy, why on earth, right, do you think that I would be worried about what is bad news for Canada? Okay? Because this...
America's hat. Yeah. Okay. No, we like the lovely nation of Canada. A great, great bunch of lads.
Indeed, but this the bad news for them would be incredibly good news for us in this particular and perhaps only example.
I think they need a reality check. They're so nice. They need Fizzer in there. If I can bring them back down to earth.
Yeah.
Showing off with their wild wilderness and their fucking animals.
The feather in the cap. He'd be the feather in the hat, wouldn't he?
Have him wanking in a national park.
In French this time.
Yeah, in French. Badly done French.
Yeah. Herdman obviously had a great time at Canada, you know, got them to the World Cup and so on and so forth.
You know how he did that, though?
I love the way you're going to put a butt on the end of this.
Well, I was going to say, he upset Croatia, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which is very easy to do.
He's provided the platform for Phil.
He has. But in building that platform, he spent all of their money and then some more money as well.
Right.
And Phil is now in a situation where there's minus money. Yeah. It's very, very difficult. And you're Phil Neville.
He walks into the job with a beret on like Frank Spencer. Fucking steps on a fucking rake. I do love the way that Canadian media sources are putting out, there's a lot of interest in the job.
Oh, of course,
just to say, Phil, there's a lot of interest in the job.
Yeah, there's so many candidates, Phil. I think, you know, we've hit our quota of English blokes.
Having said that, I've got a character reference from a Mr. L. Messi.
Oh,
there we go.
No, he doesn't, though.
He wanted me to go on to bigger and better. He basically said, I will not have that man the same zip code as me if you want me to sign him. Simple as that.
Yeah.
What Phil does quite a lot, I've noticed on Twitter, old Fizzer, is he like quite passively aggressively retweets a load of England women's footballers on Twitter, just to make it clear that, you know, I was a part of that.
Yeah.
I was big time a part of that. Don't worry about that. I was the Gerard Houllier of this success.
He's got international pedigree.
Yeah.
If you can call it that. So, yeah.
I don't think you can call it that.
No, I don't think you can. Let's hope he gets the job, though, Jim, yeah?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Come on. It's nice. Nothing against Canada.
That's a nice stepping stone for the
Everton. It's everything against Canada. I think if everything is right with the world, he's got to go to either Canada or Everton.
Yeah.
He has to.
Everton is like, that would be it. You know, that would be
unreal. Because Jamie Carragher, what did he say the other day, Carragher? Andy and I talked about it on Ramble Reacts. Jamie Carragher said something like, Everton fans have had the worst experience in Premier League history or something like that.
Yeah.
Phil Neville comes at that point.
Yeah.
Then you think, God, we're scraping the ground where the barrel used to be now.
You're below the ground, I think.
Big time.
Yeah, yeah. The only other appointment I would recommend other than Phil Neville is, of course, Sven.
Oh, so, why'd you bring that in there? That was a good section. You fucked it.
Pardon? Outrageous. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Every Wednesday, we're bringing an extended Ramble episode just for you beautiful people. So if you're signed up, keep listening for more Ramble goodness. And if not, get over to the Patreon by hitting the link in the show notes or search patreon.com/footballramble to subscribe for just $5 a month, or get 15% off by subscribing to an annual membership before Friday. Also, follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Phil Neville says merci.
He certainly does. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.